All righty. So let's get started, and let's now welcome Dr. Richard Cooey again.
Somebody asks a good question. What do you do when you eat out? Well, after y'all stay on the Cooey Challenge for 6 weeks, then you can start having grass-fed beef, free-range chickens, and turkey, and wild fish. You still can't have processed foods, and you shouldn't have sugar, you see. And you still should get your raw salad every day and drink your water and do your exercises, those seven things up there. And you will have a life freer from any kind of pain and sickness. Okay? All right, now I want to talk to you about exercise. As you can see, we have a serious problem in our churches. And I'm so glad to see this church putting on a health thing, because I hate to say this, but I've ran a lot of physical fitness tests on Baptist ministers. And they were the worst conditioned, overweight minister there was. And then I looked at the Baptist church. We are the heaviest church in the league. So we really need to think about the four-part person: mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. So remember, if you neglect any one of those, many of you have neglected your physical, which is really messing everything up. If you get that back in line, then you can start doing the other things. So, most Christians are not developing their physical fitness. And it's sad to see that they're losing their ability to move and to do things, enjoy life. They can barely walk. It's really sad to me to see that. I want you to enjoy life. You're supposed to have a happy life. You're going to heaven. So don't try to get there too soon right now, okay? Okay. Because the whole purpose of why you're doing all this, to me, I hope, if you're not a Christian, the most important decision you can make in life is to become one or not. But then the second most important thing that you need to do as a church member is that you should try to serve God as long and as best you can. And you're not going to be able to do that if you're unfit, you see. If you're overweight, you can be a good one, but you can't be the best of your potential, you see. All right. We see here in these statistics that less than 1/4 of our society exercises at least 3 days a week of Americans. That's not going to get it. We found that 60% of Americans are either obese or overweight. They're the fattest we've ever been. This is what gets me. Our school-age students, we ran a bunch of physical fitness tests on the school-age children. We ran it on body composition, speed, power, endurance. And out of the 18 countries that we tested similar to ours, we came in 18th, last. Our children are so suffering. Every time I go to the mall or something, I see the little children that are overweight, and it breaks my heart. I mean to tell you, it breaks my heart. My daughter, how'd you like to have a daddy like me? Well, she ran with me, and we ran marathons together and all that. And she had a little friend that was the most extroverted little friend when she was about 2 or 3 or 4. And then she went to elementary school and got just obese. And her whole personality changed. And it just broke my heart. She became introverted. Just shame, guilt, all kind of stuff. Made fun of. Well, I want to talk about fitness and how it works. There are two types of fitness. There's health-related fitness and what I call skill-related fitness. Health-related fitness is what we're going to look at today. They are cardiovascular endurance, muscular endurance, flexibility, and body composition. The skill-related are things like speed, coordination, power, balance, agility, reaction time. But we don't need to be fit in those. That's just your superior athlete that are fit in those. We need to turn our attention to those four: cardiovascular fitness, muscular endurance, flexibility, and body composition. Let's start with cardiovascular endurance. Cardiovascular means heart, blood vessel, blood pressure, things like that. Anything cardiovascular. Now, I've studied this, I guess probably over 40 years. And I've found some amazing things that occur to you when you become cardiovascular fit. Let's just look at your heart, what happens when you become fit. First of all, you have a lower resting heart rate. I was very lucky in my career to test the Olympic athletes, the marathon runners, the great athletes. You wouldn't believe some of the heart rates of some of these athletes. How many of you have ever heard of Dan Gable? He's a wrestling coach at Iowa, isn't he? Yes, sir. In the Olympics, I was panicking. He had to wrestle the Russian for the gold medal, and nobody knew where he was. And it had 5 minutes to go. And all of a sudden, he comes in sopping wet. I said, "What have you been doing?" He says, I had to get my run in. I said, "You're wrestling for the gold medal and you're out running?" He said, "Well, I'm going to psych that guy out. He thinks I'm tired." Anyway, his resting heart rate was 29 beats a minute. I said, "What do you do, Dan, for exercise?" He says, "I run 5 miles in the morning, go to class, and wrestle for about 2 hours in the afternoon. You ever wrestle for 1 minute?" And then I study and then run 5 miles at night. Now, this guy is fantastic shape. How many of you have heard of Alberto Salazar? He ran a 208 marathon. And Salazar had a 36 heartbeat, 36 beats a minute. But the lowest I've ever tested on any human being was Lance Armstrong, 27 beats a minute. How would you like to have a heart that beats 27 beats a minute? Just boom, and then boom. You can feel it beating in you, couldn't you? It's amazing how strong his heart was to be able to produce that. They have a lower resting heart rate than a normal person. If he would go out, if Salazar says, "Well, let's go out and we'll run a mile," and he would run the mile in 6 minutes, just running with us, his heart rate would get up to maybe 125. If we ran that, how much would our heart rate get up? 220, 250, ventricular fibrillation. We'd have really trouble. So you'll notice that when you become fit, your heart will slow down for the amount of exercise you're doing. Faster recovery time. I love these announcers. Here's this guy running a mile, and he finishes the mile and kicks the last, last lap and runs it in under 50 seconds, and he crosses the finish line, and he goes, and the guy asked him, how was the mile? He said, well, on the third lap, I was a little tired. That's all he did. What would you do? You'd throw up all over him, wouldn't you? So you'll notice that you recover faster when you start exercising. You don't even get tired. You have greater stroke volume and cardiac output. You can push out more blood per beat and more blood per beat per minute. So the biggest one I've ever seen was Lance Armstrong. His stroke volume was ungodly. I've never seen any human being anywhere close to him. How much blood he pumps out in one beat of his heart. He didn't even have lactic acid being produced. And that's what stops you when you're running, if y'all have ever heard it, is the lactic acid. So you see, that's a different type of person than we are. But we don't have to do that. But there is things that you can do to get better. And you all want to get better, don't you? Do you want to go, you're getting worse? You want to get worse? Or you want to get better? I hope you want to get better, because you can serve God better when you do that. The blood. You don't believe some of the changes occur in your blood if you become fit. You have more red blood cells. The most numerous cell in the body, if you have 100 trillion, the most numerous is a red blood cell. You have 25 trillion cells. Because those 25 trillion cells have got to carry oxygen to the 100 trillion cells. You see, so you got a lot of work to do if you're a red blood cell. Salazar had about 8 million. Most Americans, men, have 5,200,000, maybe. Women is 4,800,000, something like that. But they have more red cells, so they can pick up more oxygen to carry, to create more energy, so they can run that fast. They have more hemoglobin, which creates more oxygen. When I look in a microscope at people's red blood cells, I can tell if they've exercised, because their red blood cells will be thick, and you can see it full of hemoglobin and oxygen. I look at other people that don't exercise, and you can barely make out the little membrane around the red blood cell. So you want real thick red blood cells if you're in shape. Michael Johnson, world gold medal winner. Remember him in 200 and mile run? You ought to see his blood. He's a vegetarian, and he has the best looking blood I've ever seen on any. I mean, people, you don't care about that, but I think it's great, I told you I was a nerd. Okay. He calls me Dr. Dracula because I've got more blood out of him than anybody. You have more HDLs, less LDLs, lower cholesterol, triglycerides. Oh, these are all implicated in heart disease, aren't they? So these all help you to overcome heart disease. And the foods that we're eating now, and the lack of exercise, and the weight that we're putting on is embarrassing. For every 1 pound of fat that you put on your body, you need 200 more miles of capillaries to supply that 1 pound of fat. If you put on 20 pounds, that's 4,000 miles. That's from here to Paris, isn't it? Is that going to be a struggle on your heart? To plump blood through that extra capillaries? You see what your body's having to do when you get like that? Your blood vessels, you have more collateral circulation. You remember the guy, the astronaut White, that died in that plane? I mean, he died in a fire in the capsule. He was in good shape. And they did an autopsy, and they found that most of his heart was blocked, but he had tremendous collateral circulation. So the blood was going around the clogged arteries that he had. You have stronger media, which is part of the heart, of the blood vessel. This gives it its strength and its flexibility to contract and help push blood along, so your blood pressure is lowered when this happens. So you have lower blood pressure. We're just kind of reading some of these things. But I just want you to know that this is not in vain when you become fit. Your lungs, you have greater alveoli openings in the lungs. It carries more oxygen to the body. If you can't get the oxygen in, then your red cells can't pick them up. So you have a greater oxygen intake, which you give more energy. It removes more carbon dioxide. It also slows your breathing rate down. The normal person is supposed to be 14. Most runners are around 10 to 12, as far as many times they breathe a minute. So you can do more work. Your muscular system increases in size, strength, and endurance. You have faster removal of waste products. You have more motor units that develop into you, which gives you more coordination and skill. Your endocrine system, probably the greatest thing that happens to your body is your endocrine system. Look what it does. It reduces stress that has been built up from adrenaline. How do you feel when you get through exercising? Don't you feel good? Huh? That's what it does. It releases cortisone. That's your stress hormone. Anytime I see patients, I always want to check their cortisone level. And I looked at this one lady one time. I said, my goodness, lady, you are under a lot of stress. Your cortisone level is just sky high. And I said, do you have any stress? She said, no, I don't have any stress. Well, tell me about yourself. She said, well, I just got a divorce. It says that my children just got put in jail for drugs. You don't have any stress? No. So, it'll raise your BMR if you ladies are wanting to lose weight. That means you burn more energy at rest. And so you'll burn more energy while you're sitting there watching TV. That's good, isn't it? It's good to know. Well, the key is here, how do you develop cardiovascular fitness? And there are three things that you got to look at. The intensity of the exercise. I've done this, and many people, I wanted to know how fast should they raise their heart rate. And I kind of found that when you're about 15 to 25, you ought to get your heart rate to about 160 beats. About 26 to 35, you ought to get it to about 150 beats. 36 to 45, you ought to get it to about 140 beats. 46 to 55, you ought to get it to about 130. 56 to 65, you ought to get it up there to 120. If you're over 65, we just want you to get your heart to beat. So that'll give you an idea. Now, some of you cannot start that high. I want to make sure you understand that. You haven't been exercising. You should never push yourself to this. You should start off slow. Who cares what it is? Long as you do it, you see. Then after a while, when you get interested in this stuff, you can start checking your heartbeat and everything. It looks good in church. You're going to... The duration of the exercise. Well, I read in a book one time, it says all the exercise you need is about 20 minutes one day a week. Well, if you ever get the urge to exercise for that 20 minutes, I hope that you go and lie down until that urge passes. That's the worst thing you can do is exercise once a week. You got to make it kind of a consistent thing. And the least should be less than three, but I preferably believe you ought to do it 5 days a week. Frequency, at least 3 days a week, 5 days a week, but I want you to do it, try to get it up to at least 30 minutes. So if you can walk 3 miles in 45 minutes, that would be the ideal. So see what you can do if you've been walking. Just challenge yourself a little bit. So you can see what your homework is. Now, you ought to warm up properly. Don't just get out and start running. You ought to stretch real good. Stretch your calves, your hamstrings, stretch your quadriceps, your shoulders, your back. Then you should cool down after you get through. Stretch again. I didn't do it, and I've run 20 marathons, and I can't even hardly touch my toes now. I'm really struggling to get down there. I did it wrong. But we didn't know running wasn't cool in 1968. I ran in the Boston Marathon, and we only had 250. Now there's what, 30,000? So running wasn't cool back in those days. I didn't even know how. I just had to trial and error. You ought to get a medical exam. You know, that doesn't hurt you at all. I think your doctors can look at your heart and look at your muscles and your feet and things. That's a real important thing to me. I think you ought to wear proper shoes when you exercise, especially if you have these three musculoskeletal problems with your feet. If you don't mind, I'd like for everybody to take off one shoe so we can see your toes. If you can take off one shoe and see your toes, we're going to have some fun in here. I know y'all don't want to do this, but this is very important. Okay, everybody look at their toe. Is your second toe longer than your first toe? If you said yes, that means you're the boss of your family. No. No. I've heard that, but that's not true. But don't put your shoes on yet. I'm not through. If everybody takes a shoe off at the same time, nobody will know who has stinky feet. Oh, it's over here. That's called Martin's toe, and that's actually a genetically inferior foot. And the reason why is when you hit a foot strike, this big toe is not carrying its load, and it rocks to the inside. We call that pronation. You ever heard the word pronation? Pronation will cause knee problems, hip problems, back problems, just that little turn. So when you buy shoes, you ought to buy one that's tight at the ball of the foot because your foot's too loosey-goosey. It's rocking around too much, you see. How many of you check your arch now, your medial longitudinal arch? Everybody put your foot flat on the floor and see if you can stick your finger all the way up to the second phalangeal joint or second joint. You got a high arch. You got a high arch. How many of you have hammer toes? Because you are a high arch, people have hammer toes. You got hammer toes too? Well, your shoe should be loose at the ball. Because your feet's so tight, and you see your toes coming together like that. So you need to get a shoe that's loose so it can spread out a little bit, you see. Now, Let's look at this one. How many of you have hallux valgus? Hallux means the great toe. That's your big toe, okay? That's the hallux. How many of your big toe is pointing in like this and you got a big old bump right there? Now, if you have hallux valgus, the bump, bunion, you have plus cavus, high arch, Martin toe, your second toe is longer than your first toe, then I want you to swim. You shouldn't be running and dying. You're going to end up with all kind of running injuries. How many of you get injured every time you run? This might be why this is happening. Okay. We're having a lot of fun in here, aren't we? Or are we? We're probably saying it's the goofy guy. Okay. Okay, put your shoes on real quick. But if you have that bunion coming, you need to put something orthotics in there in your shoes and push that back, because I mean, have you ever had a bunionectomy? Oh, you're limp for a year, at least you used to. I don't know, they may be better now, some of the doctors. But man, that hurts. They'll have to break your foot over. It's not fun to get one of those. Okay. Let's see how you, that's your cardiovascular. Now let's talk about your muscle. And we need to strengthen our muscles in an equal amount. Not too much in one way, because it'll pull your body out of line. You can't believe how many people I see that have back problems. Any of y'all have back problems? How many people have shoulder problems? How many people have neck problems? Let's see. How many people have hip problems? Knee problems? Look at all these things that are happening to Americans. So what is? Well, first of all, there's four different muscle contractions. A muscle contracts isotonically. That means you can move. It decreases the angle. Like this is you're moving. Think all these are isotonic. Isometric is you try to pick this up, you can't, but you're still contracting the muscle. It's stationary. Number three is eccentric. This is what we used to do in the Olympics. We used to train some of these guys. We'd start off with about 250 pounds right here, and we say, now lower it. And they would lower it, and they're contracting the muscles, but yet it's getting longer. Does that make sense? Negative work gets you strong. And then the isokinetic, we kept the whole muscle pressure all the way through the range of motion. If I'm picking up a muscle like this, right here is when it's the heaviest. If it's 100 pounds, when it gets right here, it's 100 pounds. But when it gets here, it's about 60 pounds. But this is devices or machines that can make it 100 pounds all the way through. And we know that a muscle fiber is strengthened at the angle in which you're using it. So that would help that. Now, we need to talk about this. Let's talk about, I'm going to give you a little kinesiology here. But what about your neck? What can you do to strengthen your neck? Well, what can your neck do? It can flex, extend, hyperextend, can't it? So we need to put an overload on that. It can flex, extend, and hyperextend. It can laterally flex. So put something, push on it, push on it. It can rotate, you see, so do some rotation. Push, boy, it does feel good like this. It makes you feel good, you see. Get your head. All right, your trunk, what can it do? It can flex, extend, hyperextend. It can laterally flex, and it can rotate. Okay, your shoulder. It can abduct, adduct, flex, extend, hyperextend, inward rotation, outward rotation, horizontal flexion, horizontal extension, and hyperextension. Can you remember all those? Okay, your hip. Ab, add, extend, hyperextension, inward, outward. The knee, all it does is flex and extend. Dorsiflex, plantar flexes at your ankle. So think of all those joints that I just mentioned. And then you devise a plan where you can put an overload on every one of those movements. Put some weight on it. It doesn't have to be heavy weight, but just you can just use your own body, you see. You got to have some precautions. I recommend all of you try to get in one of these little fitness places and let these little trainers show you how to do it. Now, be careful. These guys will kill you, man. You will be so sore the next day you can't even comb your hair. I'm not doing that anymore. So you start off real slow. Maybe do one set of about 12 repetitions. You see, that would be good. Then after about a month or month and a half, start with two sets, 12 repetitions. Then after another 2 months, start with three sets of 12, and that's all you need. Then you can add weight to it if you want to. That means you'll get stronger. But you're creating a lot of endurance too. You never should lift more than you can handle. Always warm up, always use a spotter. Because this happened to me and I never have forgotten this. And it has actually, I went through life really hurting. I went into the weight room down in the church. And a little boy was doing bench presses by himself, and it fell out, and it went across, and it killed him. And I had to pick him off of that floor. Oh, I don't even want to talk about that. But that was horrible. So you always have a spotter, even though you say, oh, it can't happen to me. It can happen to you. You start getting weak, and you're in trouble. You really are. Okay. Lift 3 days a week, skip a day in between. If you just want to build strength, do 6 repetitions. If you want to build endurance, do about 10 to 20 repetitions. I suggest you do many repetitions because that'll help you tone up your muscles better, and that's what you want. You want to be able to look in that body build, you know, you want to look like good. Okay. All right. Flexibility, how do we develop that? You don't want to use the bouncing stretch. You know where you reach down, you bounce. You don't want to bounce. You want a static stretch, just slowly stretch. And then use your mind to go a little further. And then use your mind to go a little further. And stretch all those muscles that I just talked about in joints. Like your neck, you can pull your head down, you can push it back. How many of you want to get rid of a double chin? Well, okay. Everybody hold your head way back. Now, this is ugly from my viewpoint. Stick your tongue out and touch your nose. Can you feel that pulling? Open and close your mouth. Looks weird. Okay, y'all do it at home. All right. So you should stretch your arms by hanging from a door. That just stretches all of your shoulder. Walk through a door and just pull back. Sit down and walk back. Touch your toes. Sit on your knees and heels like you're praying. And lean way back. That'll stretch all these muscles in the front. But you need a good flexibility. And some little fitness guy can show you that. So, in my opinion, your ideal exercise program, on Monday, you ought to do 5 minutes of flexibility before and after your workout. You should select your favorite mode of your cardiovascular endurance. You're going to walk, you're going to run, you're going to ride a bike or swim. And perform from anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes. Now, this exercise is the most precious time of your day. I really believe that. And you protect that time as best you possibly can. You can exercise in the morning when nobody's around or your children's not up. I run in the morning, and I'm running with all the housewives around town. Their children aren't up yet, you know. You can run at noon. You guys are the real business. Go eat you a good salad, then go work out during the noon. Or you can wait after you work out. A lot of people that work real hard during the day, they don't like to work out at night. They like to go home and watch TV. But you business people, you can go work out after. It relieves the stress. So that's a good time to do it. On Tuesday, you know, I'll do 5 minutes of flexibility before and after, and do 20 minutes of the 30 minutes. And then you ought to do your muscular training for about 20 or 30 minutes. This is where you do all those joints. So you ought to repeat that. I like to lay off 2 days in my cardiovascular fitness. I lay off on Wednesday and Sunday. I like to give my legs time to come back a little bit. If you do it every day, you're going to end up with some kind of little muscle injury, because you don't give it time to work out. When you do the weight training every other day and skip it, that gives your muscles time to build back, because you're tearing down your muscles when you're doing it. So do that. Okay. Do you have any questions you want to ask me about this particular stuff? Exercise is easy. It's nutrition that's hard. Okay. I'd like to talk to you now about stress. Anybody in here have stress in their life? Well, let's talk about our stress here. Okay. What is stress? Well, I'm going to have to give you a scientific definition, because that's all I understand. Stress is anything that upsets the homeostasis of your cell. Have you ever heard that word before, homeostasis? That means the balance. All your cells always try to achieve homeostasis. And anything that upsets this, it can be the rhythm, it can be electromagnetic waves, it can be the chemical enzymes, it can be lack of water. Anything can upset this homeostasis. Worry, things like this. And so, what is the physiology of homeostasis? Well, the cell membrane, as we looked at a while ago, it has sensory receptors, it has motor effectors, it has polar and nonpolar, so the electricity and things that go through the cell can very easily be disrupted with some stressful activity. The environment around the cell is the most important environment that you should have, the environment around it. There you should have your nutrients ready to go in the cell. You should have your 27 chemical elements. You should have your 45 nutrients, like your vitamins and your minerals. But you should have all that in the environment of your cell. And if the cell ever needs it, it can take care of it real quick, because you've upset the homeostasis of it. The pH ought to be real good around there, because when you have cells, they're connected to each other like this. And in between there, you have what they call collagen that connects them together. And if you're drinking all this soda pops that everybody's been drinking, this acid will eat the collagen away. Now, if this cell becomes cancerous, it will break loose and metastasize. That means spread. So you shouldn't drink all these soda pops, too much coffee, too much tea. These are things that will cause the environment to be acid. I had a sheik from Saudi Arabia come see me. Flew over in his plane, rented a limousine, drove up to my little old humble abode, came into my office, and he said, I got 3 months to live. I said, what's the matter? He said, I have prostate cancer and it's spreading. He said, can you help me? And I said, I probably can't, but I'll give it my best shot. I put him on this real alkaline water and put him on different enzymes and the diet. And that was 8 years ago, and he's still alive. And he gave Baylor $1 million in my name. Isn't that nice? I wish he'd have gave it to me. Okay. You should surround your environment with positive talks. Remember we talked self-talk. None of this pity party, no negativity. Because that'll upset this, it'll be stressed around the environment of that cell. And it gets in the cell. Your emotions, we want to have positive emotions and no negative emotions. Every time you get angry, that's not good. Remember, we're going to do this. Okay. And your spiritual. I think the Holy Spirit hangs out there. Prayer. Those are good things that'll help that environment there. And you'll end up with the happy cell. I wrote a book called The Happy Cell. And probably the best book I ever wrote because people actually understood it. So let's get into the type of stressors. There's two types of stress. There's good stress and there's bad stress. We call good stress eustress. Eu comes from the Greek word good. So it's good stress. And then you have distress, which is bad stress. Now each one of those can be divided into physiological stress and psychological stress. And before we go any further, stress is the one thing that I can't help people with that much. I can tell them all this, but you got to do it. And stress is going to attack your weakest organ. And it's a terrible thing. It's going to concentrate that arachidonic acid to your weakest organ. And so that's what stress does. So if you want to get sick real quick, you just let stress dominate your life. And it will, because I still don't understand that stress. Like I can't control it like I can a lot of other things. But there's some physiological good stressors. Okay? That's what? Exercise? That's good. Can you make it a bad stress? Yeah, if I said, let's go out and run 10 miles right now, that'd be bad stress for you. Did you know that? Yeah. Only one guy in here I know it wouldn't be stressed to, and that's Mike. He runs 10 miles a day. Good nutrition. How many of you ate a good breakfast? I mean a good breakfast like what we talked about in here. How many of you are not eating good food, so it's a stress? And I can't hardly measure that. I can look at your cortisol and all that, but I can't tell you what's doing. And here's the most important thing I can talk to you about today, is sleep. You've got to get sleep. You've got to have a certain time where you have REM sleep and your mind goes into delta waves. If you don't go into delta waves or REM sleep, That's severe stress to every system in the body. I can't emphasize enough. I had a sleep disorder because I have to know. I got to know. I get up at 2 o'clock and I just read or study or write. I love it. I got to know. I'm weird, aren't I? But you got to know. Well, I started getting some real problems with blood pressure. And so I said, what am I getting blood pressure? I run, I don't. And so I went to my doctor and he says, let me tell you something that saved my life. He says, I slept just like you did because I had so much on my mind with all my patients and everything. He said, I went to this sleep doctor and he put me on one of these CPAP machines. You ever heard of those? And he said, that saved my life. I'm now sleeping 6 hours a day. And I am actually doing that. Can you believe that? I actually slept 6 hours one day. I couldn't believe it. It was the greatest day of my life. I felt so good. So sleep, if you have that in your family, you've got to address it. If you have a restless leg and you snore, that's not very ladylike, I know, but if you snore, you need to see a sleep doctor and try to get that corrected. I can't overemphasize that enough. How many of you like to play golf, recreation, jog, swim, just like to do things like that, hunt, fish, recreation, go out and play. You need that. Sometimes I tell my wife, I said, I'm going to go play golf. She said, good. I don't know what that means. But I do that. I do that. I like to play golf every once in a while. And I just get excited. I'm off by myself. The grass smells good and it's out in the open. And then I hit the ball. I got a cute joke. You can tell your husband this. He plays golf. This guy always had pride in that he could get to every par 5 hole in 2 shots. He was strong and hit the ball a long way. So he came up on this par 5 with his buddy. And he rips his drive and he says, ha-ha, that went in the rough. You're not going to be able to get there in 2. So he goes over and he looks at his shot and he has a little opening in between trees. If he can hit the ball out there and cut it a little bit, he can knock it on the green and still get there in 2. So he lined his shot up and he rips it, hit the tree and it bounces back, hits him right in the head and it killed him. So he went to St. Peter. St. Peter was looking at his life. He says, my goodness, you really like to play golf. He says, yes, sir, I do. He says, are you good at it? He said, well, I got here in 2, didn't I? Okay. So there's good stress and there's bad stress. What's bad stress? This is where you are. Poor nutrition. That just wipes you out. Overweight. Oh my gosh, what stress is that? That's to your muscles, your joints, your blood sugars, all this stuff. It just ruins your life. Lack of physical activity. How many of you are stiff so bad you can hardly get out of bed every morning? You just, How many of you grunt and groan when you get up? How many of you you're winded all the time? You do something, this is not normal. This is not what you should be. You can't serve God like this. You've got to work on it. How many of you smoke, drink too much alcohol? Look at all our society. Isn't that sad? Do you know there's about 25% people still smoking? Somebody told me there was an actual increase in teenage girls in smoke. Now, how could that happen? That's the most insignificant act I've ever seen to your health, is smoking a cigarette. Besides that, you smell bad. Lack of sleep is, again, what we talked about. What are some psychological distressors? How many of you have a chip on your shoulder? How many of you are always looking for bad things to happen? How many of you are so defensive that somebody says something, you just almost fly off at that, you just go pout, you see? Some of you worry. I worry about my son. I worry about my children. I still do that. I can't stop it. But it's a kind worry. I try to make it that way. Anxiety. How many of times you're just so anxious? How many times you find yourself having pity parties or depressed? This is not a good way to go through life. God didn't teach us He doesn't want us to have this kind of life. He wants us to be happy and a smile on our face and kindness in our heart. You just feel so much better. So how do you cope with stress? It's very important. Well, first of all, you got to develop a positive self-talk. This is something you got to work on. When you find yourself having negative talk, do that or something. So read positive books. Watch positive TV shows. Have you ever watched some of our TV shows? I used to watch Andy Griffith, Carol Burnett. I just love that kind of stuff. You know, somebody said that they see so many of these children seeing. Some of you have heard this statistic. I don't know what it is, but they see about 10 murders a week on TV. Just, you know, some kind of movie. Look for humor in all things. That's the key to a good life. Learn to laugh at yourself. You ever getting to the point where you go in a room and you forget why you went in there? When I bend down to tie my shoe, I look around and see if I can do something else while I'm down here, you know? But laugh at yourself. Laugh. Don't get so uptight about everything. Be an encourager. Encourage people. Did you know the South, and Alabama in particular, have the most encouragers of any state that I've ever traveled in? I've been all over the North. Man, that'll cut your throat. Hi, shut up. You know, oh, yeah, okay. So we're going to eat good complex carbohydrates and not simple carbohydrates. That's real important. Let me see, I got lost here. We're going to eat whole grains like wheat, rice, oats, and rye. We're going to eat tubers that are grown under the earth. Look at all those good ones we have there. Legumes, no cans. The veggies, especially the crucifix. Isn't that something that they're shaped like a crucifix? Did y'all get that? That fires me up. Then we're going to exercise. We're going to drink that water with a good pH. Eat some wild fish, and free-range chicken, and grass-fed beef. We're going to exercise regularly, and we're going to learn to rest a while. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It's found in Mark, and it's 6:31, and this is Jesus talking, so it's red in my Bible. Jesus says to the disciples, let's go into this desert place and rest a while. He says, you guys are coming and going so much you ain't even had time to eat. Is that your life? Do you hurry into fast foods and eat because you don't have time? Well, you gotta figure out a way to rest a while. It could be your You can just go in your little room that you have, that you feel comfortable in, and you can write letters or read a book, but it's your place. My place is in my big chair. That's the kids say, oh, no, that's Dad's chair. You can't sit in that chair. But I get in my chair, and that's where I rest a while. You know, I like to watch a golf tournament or something and just rest a while. That's where I do it. But your rest a while may be just going out into taking a walk or going out into the beautiful lakes and things around here and rest a while. My wife has a weird place. Oh man, you wouldn't believe this. When she rests a while, she puts the kids to bed or something, and then she'll go get in the tub. And she'll put roses in, it's weird, guys, in that tub. Then she'll light candles. God, it's no. And if you go in there and disturb her, she'll come out of there mean as a snake. So when we have to go to the bathroom, we learn how to hold it till she gets through. Okay. Well, I have certainly enjoyed y'all. Y'all have been gracious to me, and you laughed at my stupid jokes, and I appreciate it. Now, I want to wish y'all in my 3 John 2. You ever heard that one? This is my wish to y'all. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Isn't that beautiful? Well, that's my wish to y'all. Thank you very much. Did I get through?